Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Scripture we have the words of life and that the gospel is powerful to save. We do pray for today that we will be listening hard to your word, digesting it, and applying it to our lives. Please make us see Jesus more today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading is taken from Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 16 to 32. Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 16 to 32. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Thank you so much, Alfie. My name is Brian, and I'm on staff here at the Moorgate Talks. It's really lovely to see you, and especially warm welcome if this is your first time. It's so easy to be ashamed of the gospel, isn't it? I had dinner with some friends last week. I had prayed for opportunities to talk about Jesus. I planned to bring him up in conversation. But when the opportunity arose, did I take it? No, sadly not. Well, why not? Well, because deep down, I was ashamed of the gospel. I didn't want to mention my connection to the Lord Jesus. And you may be feeling the same. You may pray for opportunities to talk to your colleagues about the Lord Jesus, but then in the office, but then, it just doesn't happen. When the opportunity comes, you don't go for it because you're scared that your colleague might laugh at you, or that you think they might not be interested in what you have to say. It is so easy to be ashamed of the gospel, isn't it? If you are investigating the Christian faith, well, you're so welcome here. I'm so glad you could make it today. Perhaps coming to the lunchtime talks is something you'd prefer to keep quiet about in the office, just in case your colleagues find out and gossip behind your back. After all, Christianity is often thought of as an intellectual crutch, only suitable for weaklings. Or perhaps, more common these days, it is seen as bigoted, as homophobic, as misogynistic, and not relevant to these modern times. And so it's a part of your life that you'd prefer to stay private. You don't want to make other people know that you come to these lunchtime talks. Well, back in New Testament times, The Christians in Rome faced similar struggles. They lived in a city where most people worshipped pagan gods, like Jupiter and Venus, and you can still see statues of them in the British Museum. I was there just a couple of weeks ago. The Roman emperor was seen as the son of God, and people bowed down to him. And if you told your neighbors that you were a worshipper of Jesus Christ, then you would have been laughed at. He was a crucified criminal who died on the cross, the worst form of punishment reserved for the worst criminals. And so it was a shameful thing to be known as a Christian. And for Jewish believers, you might well have been kicked out of the synagogue for confessing Jesus to be the Messiah, the chosen one. And so the safe option for the Christians back then would have been to stay quiet, to keep their heads below the parapet, to not make themselves known publicly as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, today's passage reminds us that we should be unashamed of the gospel. We should be unashamed of the gospel. Look down with me to verse 16 of our passage today. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Romans, was unashamed of the gospel. Why? Well, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Well, let's unpack what Paul actually meant by this. What does he mean that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes? And you'll be able to follow an outline of the talk on your notice sheets. It's on the back of your notice sheets. So we're now at our first point. Faith in the gospel gives us a new verdict of righteousness. Faith in the gospel gives us a new verdict of righteousness. And we start off with the good news before we turn to the bad news. So the good news is this. Faith in the gospel gives us a new verdict. Let me read verse 17 for us. For in it, that's in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Or perhaps a better translation would be, the one who by faith is righteous shall live. And so at the start of this verse, verse 17, Paul tells us that God is revealing his righteousness in the gospel. In other words, he makes it possible for all of us to become righteous through the gospel. Remember what the gospel is? If you were here 2 weeks ago, we looked at Paul's definition of the gospel. Jesus is king, or in Paul's word in verse 4, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's go back to verse 17. So God's righteousness is revealed to us in the gospel, in Jesus Christ being Lord. And how should we respond to this gospel? Well, Paul talks about having faith in the gospel. It's revealed from faith. And faith is the Bible word for trust. And so what God wants us to do is to trust in this good news of the gospel. He wants us to trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord. As we do so, we will be made righteous by God. Now, that means that we will be declared right with God. We'll be in right standing with him. And Paul takes this further in verse 17. He says, the one who by faith is righteous shall live. So the person who trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord receives God's righteousness. He is declared right with God. But not only that, but he shall live. That is to say, he will have eternal life. God will give him both righteousness and life. Now, the lawyers among us, I know there are a few lawyers among us, may have spotted the legal words that Paul uses in these verses. Words like righteousness and the phrase, the one who by faith is righteous shall live. It sounds very much like a verdict by God. Well, Paul is deliberately using this legal language. Well, why? Well, because it is the gospel that gives us a new verdict in God's courtroom. It's like God is the judge and he's giving us a new verdict. We are no longer condemned by God, but we have been made righteous by faith in the gospel. We have been declared right with God through trusting in Jesus Christ. And so that means we no longer face the punishment that we deserve, that is death, and instead we will now live. I watched a film called Just Mercy recently. I don't know, has anyone watched the film, Just Mercy? Yeah, got a few people nodding, good. Well, it's based on a true story. A man called Walter McMillan is falsely accused of murder and he's put on death row. But then at the last minute, all charges were dropped against him. That meant he was no longer guilty of murder and he no longer had to face the death sentence. He was a free man, able to return to his family and friends and to live his life outside of prison. Well, friends, faith in the gospel gives us a new verdict in the heavenly courtroom. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, God clears us of all our guilty charges. Unlike Walter, who was not guilty, we are guilty, but God will declare us not guilty because of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel really is that powerful. No wonder Paul says it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, because it really does save us from God's condemnation and God's judgment. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. God declares us as righteous. We are given a new verdict of righteousness. Isn't that good news, my friends? But then, so we've heard the good news. What is the bad news? How did we end up needing this new verdict of righteousness? Well, that's our second point. Because we are all guilty of rejecting God. We are all guilty of rejecting God. Paul goes on to explain in verse 18. Let me read it for us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that the reason we need a new verdict is because our old verdict is not good. Our standing before God is not good. We are all guilty of rejecting God. We are all guilty of rejecting God. And Paul sums up God's verdict on all of humanity in verse 18. God is really angry at the unrighteousness and the ungodliness of men. By men, he means the whole of humanity. So men and women as well. But how is it that humanity is ungodly and unrighteous? What does Paul actually mean by that? Well, the end of verse 18 defines it for us. They suppress the truth. Humanity suppresses the truth. But the truth about what? Well, verses 19 to 23 help us to unpack what it is that humanity is suppressing. Verse 20 says, "For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So what Paul is saying in verse 20 is that it has always been clear to humanity that there is a creator God who is eternal and powerful. And so there is no excuse for not acknowledging him. Paul carries on in verse 21. "For although they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to him." And then in verse 23, "They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And so in other words, even though we as human beings know in our hearts that there is a God, as we look at the creation outside us, you know, we realize that there must be a creator God. We know deep down that he exists and he created all of this. And yet we suppress this truth. We bury it deep down and we refuse to acknowledge that there is a God who created us. And we refuse to give him the honor and the thanks that he deserves. And instead, we worship images of created things. And this is why God is so angry at us. We We have rejected him, the one who created us and the world around us. Just think about it. God created the entire universe, including each one of us here, sat in this pub. He has given us the food that we are enjoying, the air that we breathe every second of our lives, and the family and friends who love us and we love. And yet, how do we respond to God? We stubbornly refuse to acknowledge him. We don't give him thanks or honor him. Now, in the West, most people choose to reject God by saying that he doesn't exist or that he's not knowable. In other parts of the world, people do actually worship images of creatures. So I come from Hong Kong, and I know others of us here do as well, and we can testify that there are temples in that part of the world where images are being worshipped every day. Now let's have a think about this illustration. Whatever you think of the monarchy, just imagine if Prince William refused to acknowledge King Charles III. Now, even though William is the son of King Charles and has been made Prince of Wales by him, imagine if he still refused to acknowledge him as king, and instead of pledging his loyalty to his father, the king, instead he pledged his loyalty to President Putin of Russia. Now, that would be shocking, wouldn't it? It would be outrageous behavior. William would be guilty of rejecting his king. He would be guilty of treason. And he would have to face the consequences of his betrayal. Well, in our case, we as a human race are guilty of an even worse form of treason. We have rejected not our earthly king, but the creator of the universe, the one who made us and gave us all the good things that we enjoy. And so God is therefore rightly angry at us. And that is God's verdict on humanity. We are guilty of rejecting him, and we are under his condemnation. But unfortunately, that is not the end of the bad news. Because God has a response to our rejection of him. He gives us up to ungodly behavior. That's our third point. We have been given up to ungodly behavior. Let me read a few verses to us. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And then, lastly, verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Did you notice that Paul uses the same phrase three times? It is the phrase, God gave them up. In verse 24, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. In 26, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. 28, God gave them up to a debased mind. So in other words, God has given us up to ungodly behavior. He has allowed us to pursue our ungodly desires, to act on them. And that means dishonoring our bodies, pursuing dishonorable passions, to do things that are wrong. And this is going to be a hard-hitting message, so please do prepare yourselves. But this ungodly behavior includes same-sex sexual acts. This is clear from verses 26 and 27. Look down with me to verse 26. Paul says, "For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with men and were consumed with a passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." So this ungodly behavior includes same-sex sexual acts. But that isn't it. Paul includes more than that. Look down with me to verse 29. He says, "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. This is a long list of sins. It includes sins that are mentioned in the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, but it also includes other sins like greed, murder, pride, disobedience, ruthlessness. As I read them, and perhaps as you read them, I couldn't help but think that this list accurately describes the world in which we live right now. Think of the war in Ukraine, hundreds of women and children killed and buried in mass graves. And think of your office, the gossip, the slander, the backstabbing that takes place on a daily basis. And in fact, this evil behavior isn't just out there in the world, in our offices. I think it's actually in each one of us as well. Sure, we may not have committed murder, but we have hated other people in our hearts. And Jesus says that constitutes murder in the Gospels. We have envied other people. We have lied to them. As I look at this list, I know it is describing myself. And I know it is describing all of us here as well. God has given us up to this ungodliness because we have rejected him. Our world is full of sin, full of evil, because we have refused to worship our Creator God. Our children disobey us because they are in rebellion against God. Our colleagues gossip because they hate God. Our bosses act ruthlessly to get what they want because they do not serve the Creator. And our politicians fail to govern with justice because they do not acknowledge the Lord God who made the earth. God has given us up to ungodliness because we have turned away from him. That is God's verdict on us. It is sobering. We are guilty of rejecting our Creator, and as a result, we have been given up to sin and evil and ungodliness. And so going back to our first point, that is why we desperately need the gospel. We need a new verdict of righteousness. We need God to make us right with him. And amazingly, this is the good news again. We end on the good news. The gospel is God's perfect solution. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be made right with God. We can receive a new verdict of righteousness. Our guilty verdict will no longer stand if we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but God will also set us free from this ungodly behavior that results from our rejection of God. We will be able to live lives that please God, and we will have eternal life through Christ. That is the greatest news in the world. Well, what does this mean for us here? Well, this means that like Paul says in verse 16, we can be unashamed of the gospel. We can be unashamed of the gospel because it really is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes. Hopefully we've seen that from today's talk. That's our final point on the handout. We can be unashamed of the gospel because it really is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we will receive this new verdict of righteousness. We will receive life in Jesus Christ. Now, if we had the cure to cancer, surely we would want to share it with the world because we would be saving lives, millions and millions of lives. You know, we'll have family members and friends who have cancer or who've died. I certainly have. You know, imagine if we had the cure, we would want to share it with the rest of the world. Well, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have something even more life-changing than the cure to cancer. Because the gospel gives us a new verdict of righteousness before God. It gives us eternal life. So let's stand firm in the gospel and let's share it with those around us. Next time I have dinner with my friends, I can have more confidence in the gospel because I have seen from today's passage that it really can save my friends from God's condemnation and judgment. And as you guys head back to your offices, to Slaughter and May, to Linklaters, to Rathbones, you guys can also have more confidence in the gospel. Because this gospel can really save your colleagues from God's condemnation and judgment as well. And so why not bring them along next week to the guest event that Alfie mentioned? We have flyers on your tables. Simon Pinchback was really transformed by the gospel as he put his trust in Jesus Christ. So do come back and do bring your colleagues along next week to hear this good news and how it transformed the life of Simon. Now, if you are looking into the Christian faith, you are so welcome here. I'm so glad you could make it today. And I do hope that today's passage will help you to understand more about the Christian good news, that it really is God's power to save us. It can save us from God's condemnation and judgment. And so let me read verse 16 again as we end. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that through by faith in Jesus, by trusting in him as our Lord, we can receive a new verdict of righteousness, that we will no longer be guilty of rejecting you. We will have forgiveness, and we will stand before you as righteous people. Thank you, Father, for this gospel, and we pray that you would help us to be unashamed of it, to be confident in it. As we head back to our offices, help us to be unashamed about telling our colleagues about Jesus Christ, so that they too may believe and be saved. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.